One of the things we celebrate today, this weekend, you'll notice in your bulletins on the announcement page, is we're celebrating friendship. In just a few moments, we'll welcome guests and friends that are here today. And it's interesting, one of the things that we read today in the gospel lesson is Jesus saying specifically to his disciples that he is calling them friends. He does this for a very specific reason. He says to them, I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know what their master is doing. But rather, I call you friends now because I have revealed everything to you that I have heard from my Father. You know, for so many of us in our lives, I'd be willing to bet that if you were to use one word to characterize your relationship with God, most people, most Christians, would not use the word friend. In fact, that was truly my experience growing up in the church. That was the last word I would use to characterize my relationship with God. Maybe fear, maybe judge, maybe distant, but I never, ever would have used the word friend. And one of the things I think that is a sea change for each one of us, if we would really hear the word of Jesus this day and not let it just go through one ear and out the other, is that the primary relationship that Jesus wants to have with you is not only being your Lord and Savior, but he also desires to be your friend. And like me, you may be asking the question, what does it look like for God to be my friend? I've never really thought about that before, and I've never really lived into that. And that is a question that can be answered throughout the rest of your life and my life. But I think as you and I live in relationship with God as a friend, the whole relationship changes. Think of someone who is your best friend, someone that you can tell everything to, somebody that you laugh with and that you cry with, somebody that knows enough about you that they could really do damage to you. And vice versa, that's a great friend. And all of us have, well, probably one or two on our hand, right? Jesus wants to be that best friend in your life. That's the kind of relationship that he's talking about here today in John 15. And that's also another reason why I think he's using this whole idea of this word abide, and he's using this lesson about the vine and the branches and the vine dresser, is he's talking about the quality of relationship that he really desires to have with you and with me, with those who follow him as his disciples. And that is a very intimate and close relationship. It's best friends in the deepest, most complete and powerful sense of the word. It's in this sense that he wants you to abide with him to the extent and be a friend with him to the extent that as you face the choices in your life, which all of us face day in and day out, and you have a choice about whether remaining in that best friendship and abiding with Jesus or not, that more and more throughout your life you will choose to abide with the Lord and remain in friendship with him. Thank you. I'll give that to you in just a little bit. But yeah. One of the things I've learned in my own life, and I don't know about you, but this is really true for me. There are times where I do a really great job of abiding with the Lord. It could be during a worship service like this. It could be at a Bible study. It could be at a hymn sing. It could be in an outreach activity. It might even be at home from time to time as I'm praying or reading the scripture or doing whatever. But there are moments where I have a really hard time abiding in Christ, and it's usually when I begin thinking about or considering what I call one of my mud holes that I like to go and frolic in, usually an area of sin. It's an area that takes me out of abiding in Christ. It gives me some pleasure, but at the end of it, I usually feel guilty and ashamed. I won't ask for a show of hands if you have a mud hole here today, because I already know the answer to that question. And so you see, part of the invitation for you and me in our relationship with Christ and in our journey with him is to more and more choose our friendship with him, to choose abiding with him rather than going to play in the mud hole, and to find our pleasure and our joy and our satisfaction and our fulfillment ultimately in our relationship with him. It doesn't mean you can't live life and go for a walk on the beach. It doesn't mean you can't eat and have fun with your friends. It doesn't mean you can't do secular things and have your mind on other things other than Jesus Christ. It means that you can live life to the fullest and all that that is for you and me. But what it means is this. When you come to those choices in your life, where it is a choice between your best friend Jesus and abiding in him, or something or someone else that would break your fellowship with Jesus, you choose the Lord. Very simply, that's what abiding in him means. And again, I don't know about you, but for me, it's one of the most difficult things to do, to stay in that place, to remain there, to remain in his light and remain in his grace. And I think it's one of the most important things spiritually that you and I can do. It's a key to the spiritual life. What does God want for his children, you and me? He wants us to flourish in our lives. He wants us to live an abundantly fruitful life, physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually, and in every dimension of our lives. And there are ways in your life in which you're already realizing that and experiencing that, and there may be other areas of your life that need some work. And all of us do. There are all areas in which we need some growth and some pruning and some help from God. In our scripture today in the bulletin in John 15, we read, "I am the true vine. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit." And that fruit can be a lot of different things. It can be the fruit of virtues, Galatians 5, the fruits of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, and so on. It can be supernatural gifts, as listed in 1 Corinthians 12, gifts of miracles, prophecy, healings. It can also be gifts of leadership and administration that are talked about in the scriptures, like apostles, prophets, pastors, and evangelists. And it could be any one of a number of things. It could be a gift or spiritual gifts that you have that God uses in your life to be a blessing to yourself and be a blessing to others. And what God desires is that you be fruitful, that you share those gifts with others, and that you be a blessing to him and be a blessing to others as you do that. In this particular scripture in John 15, Jesus talks about the vine. That would be him. That is the main part of the branch, the trunk of the plant that grows from the ground. He also talks about the Father being the vine dresser. The Father cares for the vine and branches to produce the best fruit. The vine dresser goes through and he'll prune different parts of the branch that are dead. He'll cultivate it in such a way that that branch can bear the most fruit possible. And then finally, you and I are the branches, as the song goes, kind of like this. And we're the ones that produce the fruit by abiding in the vine. And so again, there's that word abide. Abide in the Greek means to remain, to rest in Jesus, to be in him, to simply be in relationship with him, to cultivate that friendship and to grow more deeply in that relationship. And as you and I do that, we will produce fruit. It's not something you have to labor after. It's not something you have to force by your will. As you and I are connected with the vine, with Jesus, it will naturally happen. It will naturally happen in our lives. That fruit will naturally produce. An apple tree doesn't have to give forth great effort to produce apples. It just naturally will, as long as it's fed and watered properly. The same with bananas and pears and all that other kind of stuff. It grows naturally from the plant. And the same is true for your life spiritually as you abide in Christ. Bruce shares about this fruit. That fruit is your only permanent deposit in heaven. We are here to fulfill God's dream that we will bring him glory through a remarkably abundant life. That's why we find our greatest personal fulfillment new, now, and for eternity. And so God is tending your life and my life that we would be fruitful, and fruitful in an abundant way. If we are bearing little fruit, to move toward much more fruit. God desires for each one of us an overflowing abundance in our lives in a way that will be spectacular and great and a blessing. What I'd like to do for just a moment is take a moment with you and to think about your own life for just a moment. I'd like you to think about right now what you believe, what you've seen to be the most fruitful part of your life. What is that? What area or areas in your life is just incredibly fruitful? You know, Jesus talks about a crop of 30, 60, 90, even 100-fold. What's your crop that's 90 or 100-fold? Each one of you have that area. What is it? I see some smiles coming to your faces. That's good. You should rejoice in your bumper crop. You should rejoice in that area in your life that you've been incredibly fruitful. That is a great thing. And I know some of you, I'm thinking of some of you right now that have skills and talents in certain areas of leadership and administration, and you've actually gone to different organizations, and you've used those skills with different groups and helped them be fruitful, right? That's a wonderful skill and talent. Whatever areas in your life that are fruitful and abundant, have joy about that. Celebrate that. Rejoice in that. You know, like Jesus says, that your joy may be complete. God wants you to be joyful in the fruitfulness of your life because that's the normal reaction to that. Now, let's look at another area in your life for just a moment. What's that area in your life that the Holy Spirit continues to point to where he's desiring spiritual growth in you of some sort or relational growth? Maybe it's an area of sin that you're struggling with. Maybe it's an area where God is calling you to step out in faith and to follow him. Maybe it's an area where God is creating a change in your life. He's pruning back a place in your life right now where you've been really busy and you're not quite sure what's going to take place of that, replace that, and you're kind of in limbo right now. Whatever area in your life right now is that God is focusing in on you, that he desires growth, I want to encourage you to press into that along with me and to not give up. Some of you have maybe been facing that area for a long time. You've been struggling with this particular sin, or you've really wanted growth in this area or that, financially, relationally, in terms of your work, and it just isn't happening. And you've tried and you've tried all that you know to do, and it just isn't happening for you. I want to encourage you to not give up. I want to encourage you in just a few moments as we pray to open up your heart to the Lord in that area of your life and invite him in even more deeply. To pray to him and ask for him to give you the grace to be open to his life, his energy, and his spirit to bring a fruitfulness into that part of your life that you've been struggling with. Greater love has no one than this, than he laid down his life for his friends. Friendship is a great gift that you and I have in each one of our lives, with the human beings that we have that we call friends, and also the friendship that we can have with the Lord Jesus Christ. I invite each one of us to open up our minds, to open up our spirits, and especially open up our hearts to the possibility of having a friendship with Jesus Christ.